Several years ago, my wife Margaret and I were regulars at a service that was held at Christ Church Cathedral downtown called First Friday. First Friday usually was set for the liturgical season of the year, and it was open to anyone who wanted to come. It was usually very creative. There were often dancers as well as different kinds of music. And I remember one in particular set during Epiphany. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but when we walked in and the service started, it was being led by a cowboy band, Riders in the Sky. Now, this was a special treat for me because Woody Paul Crisman and I were in school together across the street many years ago, and the one thing I remember about Woody was that he could literally play any instrument he picked up. Now, along the way, he also got a doctorate at MIT and a few other things, but he made his living playing in a cowboy band. And I sat there and listened to the songs, and I thought, I never thought of the Magi being cowboys. And a lot of people there apparently didn't want to think of them as being cowboys. But I found it fascinating because for the first time I started thinking about the similarities between the journey that those who were driving cattle took and those who were traversing a strange land to find a king, a child of a religion that was not theirs in a place they had never been. I started thinking, you know, when you drive cattle, you not only need to find the routes between the mountains, you also need to know where every watering hole is along the way. Because if you don't make that watering hole in time, cattle die. If you don't make it in time, cowboys die. Started me thinking that those Magi who came across this uncharted and unknown territory must have been constantly thinking about where the next watering place was. Where do we stop so that the camels and the donkeys and the people can find water that is clear and clean, drinkable? We don't think about that, do we? We walk into the kitchen or we walk into the bathroom, we turn on a tap and clean, drinkable water. But that's not true for most of the world. Millions of people around the world have to search to find water that has not been poisoned in some way or another, water that is drinkable. Our team just got home from Haiti. And in Haiti, thousands of wells have been drilled just so people can have water to drink nearby without having to walk miles to get it and bring it back. So that service started me thinking about the importance of knowing where you find the next place of refreshment, and not just refreshment, but of finding something that is absolutely necessary to life. We don't think of water that way, but they would have in Jesus' time. Jesus goes to the Jordan River, and in Luke's version, which is so brief and so spare in its telling, John's name isn't even mentioned. Jesus simply arrives with a group of other people to be baptized. And when Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends in the bodily form of a dove. Luke's the only one who says that. In the bodily form of a dove. So apparently a bird flew down, and there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved child. I am well pleased with him." And the implication is that everybody standing around could hear that. Now, don't you know that among those who had just been baptized, there were at least a few standing around there who thought, well, they talking about me? And you know, I think they were probably right. I think every time a child or an adult is baptized, God says, "This is my beloved child. I am well pleased with you." We are inviting you on a pilgrimage. We are inviting you to continue a pilgrimage that began at your baptism. You know, when you travel through the national parks, they'll give you a little passport, and you can get it stamped as you visit national parks. Well, we have our own little passport here, and the first stamp has already been placed, not in here, but in here. You bear the watermark of your baptism. You have already had the first stamp put in place, and that is what sent you on this pilgrimage to start with. Along the way, what we hope to provide are just a guide to where the watering holes are. Where do you find those places that both refresh and give you what is necessary to continue the journey to the next watering hole? Now, we divide them according to learning and being and doing and caring. You could divide them in a lot of ways. This is not the beginning of your journey, and it won't be the end. But we do hope that it will be a pilgrimage that will enrich your journey of faith and take you closer to God, because ultimately that's where all pilgrimages lead. They lead us to God. There's a film called The Way. Some of you may have seen it. It stars Martin Sheen. It was directed by his son, Emilio Estevez, who also plays his son in the film. It's based on the true story of a man who had a rocky relationship with his son, so much so that he didn't know where he was. He thought he was in Europe somewhere, but he wasn't sure exactly where that might be. He felt like his son had wasted his life because he wasn't using his gifts properly. And then he gets a call one day that his son has died. It's a call from the French police. He goes to claim the body. And the officer who had called him meets him and tells him the story of how his son died. He had died on the very first leg of the Camino de Santiago, a very ancient and very popular pilgrimage through the Pyrenees and across Spain. It ultimately winds up at a shrine. There are shrines all along the way, but it ultimately winds up at a shrine for St. James, the brother of Jesus. And then if you want, you can continue on to the ocean. I won't tell you a lot about who he meets along the way or where he winds up. What I will say is, however, that he decides to cremate the body and to finish the pilgrimage, because you see, his son only had the first stamp in his passport, in the little folder that you're given as you start the Camino, as you start this pilgrimage. He decided he would go for his son, and that at every single shrine, he would take some of the ashes and leave them there along the way. He was doing that in honor of the person whose life and death sent him on the pilgrimage in the first place. That's what we're doing as well. We're going on a pilgrimage, and we're stopping not to leave ashes, but to find water. To find what we're thirsty for, even if we can't name it, even if we don't know it exactly. To remember that we were sent on this pilgrimage, probably for many of us, before we knew anything, when we were babies or toddlers. Our parents decided that we were going to be watermarked for this pilgrimage. And so all along the way, we remember at each stop the one whose life and death made that pilgrimage possible. And we get our stamps, and we read and reflect. Almost anything can start us on the way of a new leg of this pilgrimage. For the gentleman in the way, it was a tragedy. It was the death of his son. The man was a lapsed Catholic. He didn't have much faith, and he didn't know that his son had any faith at all. But you know, anything can send you on the next leg of this journey. Faith can send you there, but so can doubt. Joy can send you there, but so can tragedy. God can use any life event to move us along that journey of faith that pilgrimage that starts with our baptism. There's a Buddhist poet, Thich Nhat Hanh, whose work I enjoy very much. He's not just a poet. He writes about mindfulness. He's a wonderful writer. In a particular poem that has stuck with me ever since I first read it, there are a couple of lines that went inside me and lived there and continue to live there. They are, "The tears I cried yesterday have become rain." It's a very simple statement. And yet, all of us have cried tears at some time or another, haven't we? Tears of joy or perhaps tears of sorrow. And yet, out of that, God brings the rain that is necessary if we are going to have life on earth. That brings the rain that fills watering holes for us, that we can find them. That greens the grasses and allows the trees to bud. Even sorrow can bring forth a pilgrimage toward growth. And that's what we're inviting you on during this time. And we thought it would be great to kick it off with the story of Epiphany, those original pilgrims, the Magi, and the watermark, the first passport stamp that you received, your baptism. And we're very fortunate that we actually are having a baptism as part of our recollection of our baptism and our renewal of our baptismal vows. This is a lifelong journey, and who knows, it may extend beyond what we think of as life. But we are hoping that during this time, wherever you are in your life, of faith or doubt, of joy or sorrow, that this will be the next stage of your pilgrimage that ultimately leads each and every one of us a little closer to God, that we will provide for you watering holes where you can find what you need for the next stage and the next along this journey that we will gather together, because we want to hear your stories of what happens along the journey too. We don't know what's going to happen to you along this pilgrimage. We don't know where God is going to lead you, but we want to hear the stories of those occasions in your life, of those places that you have been taken, and those people you have met, and those experiences that you have had because you took this pilgrimage. We invite you to come with us.